Hello and welcome to the second hour of A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here live on WWGH1071.com. We are also live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Thank you for tuning in and listening to my show. Kind of excited today. I have a friend in here with me who hasn't been here in a while, and we'll give her a moment to get herself together, and I can share a little bit more with you about my show. Okay, I'd like to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street. And this is also of Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. No free produce until April the 15th of 2023. No free produce until April the 15th of 2023. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, which are located in every elementary school in Marion City, also Marion County Schools and Union County Schools. They will be hosting a luncheon and silent auction on March the 4th of 2023. Mark your calendars, tell your family, friends, and neighbors. Share this information with them. It will take place, like I said, on March the 4th of 2023. And it will be held at Cornerstone Alliance Church. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. Also, if you would like to purchase tickets or make donations for the silent auction and tickets for the luncheon, please call Cheryl Lee at 740-262-0939. So hopefully these announcements can help you. The internet seems to be down, so I couldn't go Facebook Live, but we are streaming live on the web again, and that is www.wwgh1071.com. And again, you can download that free app called TuneIn and search WWGH, or you can call in and ask questions while we are live on the air, which is now, by calling 740-383-9944. Again, Linda Sims, A Voice of a People on WGH Talk Live. Now, I will turn my attention to my guest today, Whitney Gurman. Hi, Whitney.
Hi, it's so good to see you.
Where have you been, girl?
I've been good. It's been a good start to the 2023 year.
Right. Tell me about that. Oh my gosh, you've been so busy. And I was looking you up on the internet, and you have so many titles now. So what are you, what are you doing now?
Yeah, so I'm still with OSU Extension here locally in Marion County. That's about 50% of my time. Am I close enough to the mic?
Try the other one. I don't hear you so well.
What does this sound like for
Just
you?
Tilt it to your mouth.
Okay. How does this sound?
Better.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So I'm Whitney Gurman. I'm the Family Consumer Science Educator in Marion County 50% of the time. And then 50% of my time, I'm leading diversity, equity, and inclusion work for the State Office of Extension in a special grant that we have with SNAP Ed. And I'm super excited. This is what I'm hoping I can talk to you about today is I'm the principal investigator of a project called Project Dreams. It actually started here in Marion under the name of Dream Keepers.
I remember that, yes.
2 years ago, and it has unfolded and blossomed and grown, and we're really excited because next week is Equity Day. So I'll tell you all about it, but
yes.
Shout out to Marion because it was really, gosh, it's been like 3 years since that program was
doesn't seem like it's been that long ago.
Wow, it's unbelievable, but it's also really exciting just to see all those efforts come to tuition and be able to help other communities.
So wow, that is so good. It doesn't seem like 3 years have gone by.
I know. It was the summer of 2020. 3 years later, like, we're approaching that May timeline again. And during that summer was when Ohio State had released funding to respond to the social uprisings,
right,
and racial injustice. And that's how Marion Dreamkeepers was first wrote and developed. And
I remember that.
Here we are.
Yeah, I tried to get my grandson to be a part of that. Now he's graduated in college. So.
I know. Some of these kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, they have grown.
Yes, and gone.
Yeah, I know. Now we got to get the other ones.
Right, those behind. Right, right. And that's where to get them at also.
Yeah.
You know, before they get out into the world and try to help shape them and mold them into who they want to be, you know, in their future. But you're going to have to break that down for us, because a lot of people don't understand what inclusion and equity and, you know, all that is about. So break that down
for
us.
That's such a good question. So when I think of diversity, I think of anything that makes a difference. I mean, there's diversity everywhere. People tend to only think of race when they think of diversity, and they might assume, well, diversity is for black and brown people. But diversity includes people with disabilities, senior citizens, people that speak languages other than English. It includes gender and sexuality. I mean, diversity is so much of humanity. All of us have something unique and different to bring to the table.
That's true. We're all people, right?
Yes. That's why I love the show, The Voice of the People.
At least we have that in common. We're all people.
That's right. Yes. And inclusion is making sure everyone is included and can sense like they belong. That's such a big part of our health and well-being, is to feel connected to one another. And we can do that by including everyone. And equity, that middle one, is just about making sure everyone has what they need to thrive and to live a healthy life. And we think about historically who hasn't had the resources to do that.
Right.
Equity helps redistribute those resources to populations that have been neglected. Could be people of color, could be people with disabilities, it could be women, veterans, anyone that hasn't been as represented and hasn't received the full access to live a healthy life.
That's good. That's good. And that can be anybody.
That's right.
Yes, that's good. That's good. I'm glad we're kind of moving on past race, because sometimes that's just targeted all the time, and we want everybody to feel important.
Yeah, and what I learned from the young people is it's difficult for them just to only look at race. Race is, racial equity is specific to my program, but young people bring out other perspectives, like religion, and how that influences their identity, their experiences. Some of them talk about gender and how that influences them. So it's hard for us to tease out this stuff and only look at one characteristic.
True. It's not fair.
Right.
To all the other elements that are on the table right now, you know, this generation of young people, they need to be stewarded in the right direction. And you know, when you think about crime and how these young people are thinking and dealing with mental health issues, which seems to be on the rise, and we just need people like you to help, you know, to help steward them and lead them in the right directions, you know, because we live in a world full of fear. You know, everybody's afraid of this or afraid of that. You know, we went through COVID and now we're coming out of that, and UFOs flying and shooting them down. You know, okay, can you believe that? What we're living through right now? And how do you think young people think about that, you know?
Yeah, I had recently heard a statistic that in Generation Z, which is this high school age group, 50% of them have mental health issues.
Wow.
You're right. They really, really need our support right now with the pandemic, with the UFOs, with mass shootings. These young people are experiencing things I never had to worry about as a high schooler.
True.
And on top of that, some of the, you know, bullying that happens or statements that are said, they're called microaggressions, where you say something against someone based on their identity. It can make matters worse.
Right, Like hate speech, is that included in that category?
Yeah, there was recently a high schooler in, I want to say England, and her name was Brianna, and she was killed by her classmates for being transgender. Wow. She was stabbed to death. And so we tend to think of like this Hollywood image that this new generation is so welcoming and including everyone, and progressive. But the reality is a lot of young people are faced with some of the same issues that we've been reckoning with for decades, unfortunately.
Right. It's on the table now. It's out in the open. It's not really hidden like it was when we were going, like when I was going to school, because I'm not your age.
Yeah.
I'm your senior, so things, like you said, things you haven't had to deal with, I didn't have to deal with, things that you did deal with. So I'm looking back, what, two or three generations back, you know, my children's children, all my grandchildren are grown at the moment. I have great grandbabies, so they're getting ready to grow up in this new era that we're in now, this society, culture.
Yeah.
It's so different.
It is. I always think about, like, the Rodney King video being the first viral video that has, like, you know, at the time was so unique to have that video footage. And now we see it everywhere. And it's created, in some sense, accountability. In some sense, trauma. Just watching things on replay can really just assault our spirits.
Right.
So we want to elevate young people and support them. And I just have such amazing people to work with that can really be representation to them. Tamika Vinson Reed of the Delaware African American Heritage Council. And Solomon Garner has been a grad student working with me since October. And they provide so much validation and support. That folks will see next week if you want to attend Equity Day. They are presenting what their experiences are and how they want to make change.
Okay, and the Equity Day, is that in Delaware?
Yeah, so it'll be in Delaware. We have various sites and stops, and you can learn about everything on our website, which is go.osu.edu/Equity Day 2023. We have a kickoff at City Hall. The city manager is going to be presenting what commitments they're making towards diversity. We have a special speaker, Tekka Thompson, who's going to help just ground us in what we're committing to personally.
Right.
And then we have a private event at the elementary school to engage third graders in dreaming of a better world. I'm really excited for that one.
Right.
They are so optimistic and hopeful.
Brings so much joy. Wow. They would have to be.
And then we go from there to a lunch with the Delaware African American Heritage Council, where Tamika is going to talk about the history of racial justice organizing in Delaware. And then Ohio Wesleyan University is presenting on what we mean by equity, to dive deeper. A lot of us, that term is so confusing.
Yeah.
So they'll present some of that information. And the most important, most exciting part is at Delaware Hayes High School at 3:15, right on the dot, will be the youth presentations where they speak to their experiences. And we will then award the students. The mayor's giving a proclamation to them. And we have various partners that are awarding them for their leadership on these issues.
Okay. You're busy.
I am.
You got a lot going on. But I'm so glad that what you are doing has gone, like, statewide.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading, you know, some things about you, but they've moved on from, like, Marion and moved on from, like, Delaware, and people are you know, noticing what's going on and what you have to offer, and that's a great thing.
It's so exciting. This will be part of a national case study.
Oh, my.
For the 4-H Foundation.
Okay.
Most people think of 4-H and think of, like, agriculture and the fair. But 4-H has tradition in youth leadership, and so they invested $25,000 into this project.
Okay.
And so we get to report out the great work that has blossomed and grown. But at the same time, we still want to, you know, find ways to continue to support the people that have always been part of this work with us. Mm-hmm. So as folks in Marion hear about this work, don't think that we haven't forgotten you. We still want to see this in Marion as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Our mission is to create equitable schools. And so anything we can do to connect with teachers that may be listening, principals or other administrators, we hope to continue this program locally, statewide, and nationally as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Nationally.
Oh, I'm just so proud of the kids. Like, that is what brings me so much joy. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wish I could tell everyone to please come, because it changes me when I hear their stories. You know, we could go to a million different workshops and read books and study all of this.
Right.
Actually, I'm going back to school.
Are you?
I am. But what's so powerful is hearing it from the young people.
Okay. You getting your doctorate or what?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm crazy. But yeah, I'm going to study multicultural equity studies and education.
Okay.
And hopefully through that program, I can continue to help schools and communities prioritize racial equity.
You're always on fire, Whitney. And moving and shaking and moving things, right?
I like to say that, like, I don't know if I'm solving any problem, but I'm complicating the narrative. I'm complicating our current perceptions, mm-hmm. our current understanding of history.
Right.
And just trying to get us to think from other points of view.
Right.
A lot of history is taught from adults. And it's great to give the kids a chance to tell their history and their side of the story.
Mm, wow. So that one case study you did with the youth, like you said, was 3 years ago. What did you learn from them?
Oh, my gosh. I've learned everything. That program and implementation was so pivotal for me. You know, it was at a time where we were doing everything virtual.
Mm-hmm.
That has shifted a lot because now we can actually be in person.
Right.
But even with that barrier, the young people showing up and they had taken pictures of where they experienced equity or inequity or like feelings of belonging or exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It just really made me see the power of their artistic ability and how much more we can use that into our curriculum and into how we operate schools or even youth-serving organizations.
Right.
We also were able to pay them, which really shifted not just my perspective, but the perspective of Ohio State. They were hired as consultants of the university, and we've stuck with that model even in this new iteration.
Mm-hmm.
They were really pioneers for doing that. Here locally in Extension, we've never have done that before. So
okay.
I would love to follow up with some of them that participated in that program, because I don't want to underestimate how much their contributions have shaped me and other students.
Right, right. So the pronoun thing,
yeah.
I, she, her, why is this so important nowadays?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us hear like the pronoun conversation and want to be like, well, I don't believe in it.
People are getting fired because they won't say it right or address the students the right way. I mean, how confusing is that as well?
It is confusing. I think the reassuring thing is we all do have pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
We might not just have thought about it as much as we do now before, because we're introducing a third pronoun. So typically there is she and her. So we think of she and then he. And then this third way is to refer to someone as they. If you don't fit in those two categories so easily,
mm-hmm.
this third way is a way to still be represented and talked about. Even though the language is new, people that are transgender have always been here from the beginning of time. And so I like to remind people of that history, because we might just think it's something from the young people, But there have been people for centuries that have been non-binary.
Okay. So that means both sexes, or?
That they identify not easily into a she or a he. So okay. Sex is like, you're assigned your sex at birth. Usually like a doctor will look at you and say you're male or female.
Right.
Gender is different than sex because gender is, I know this gets really deep, a construct. It's an idea. It's not a biological thing. It's a way of, like, our culture has defined what's masculine or feminine and come up with the categories. Just like race. Race is actually not a biological thing. It's constructed. Mm-hmm. And I always think of, like, construction helps me remember that it's man-made.
Right, right.
It's not naturally occurring.
Okay.
So, it is confusing.
Oh, yeah.
But asking the question is, like, so important. And actually, one of the students next week is going to be talking about trans visibility issues among students.
Right. Because I think it was a teacher just fired because she didn't address the student with the right pronouns. And I'm thinking, this must be really serious, you know, that we learn how to identify with people and how they want to be addressed or what they want to be called. And, you know, even though we're looking at them and they may look one way, then they don't want to be addressed as that. They want to be addressed another way. So how can we adjust ourselves to that, you know?
Yeah, I think one way to adjust to this is when I go into a room, I will introduce myself as, like, Whitney, and I use pronouns she and her.
Mm-hmm.
That can signal to people that it's safe to share pronouns.
Okay.
And also, we're all human, so we're going to make mistakes. We might misgender someone, and the best thing to do is just say, oh, sorry about that, and correct yourself.
Right, right. Wow.
Yeah, if you... Yes, I work with Leo Taylor in our college, and he talks a lot about his personal experiences. He's been to Marion before, but maybe he'd be a guest on your show to talk more about what does transgender mean, and he's very open with his experiences transitioning.
That'd be great. Oh, my. You have to give me my information.
I will.
My number, yes.
Yeah.
I love that because we need to be educated about these things, you know, and you don't want to say the wrong thing to a person, you know. And I know there's a lot of hype about don't call yourself that. You know who you are. You know how you came into this world. And like you said, the doctor has said you are a female or you are a male. So get over it. This is how we're going to address you. But if this is hurting people,
right,
then we need to be educated as far as understanding what is appropriate, you know, or inappropriate.
Yeah, I think believing people's stories is so important.
Okay.
You know, even if we disagree, believing someone's truth is what matters. And so I like to look at that as this isn't, people want to put this in a political issue.
Okay.
But it's not. It's a human issue of caring for one another. And to your point, educating ourselves. This is new for some people. And
oh, yeah, it is.
It's okay to keep an open mind, you know?
Well, we have to. We have to because that's the only way we can have an impact on these young people or whoever, you know, whatever age they are. Because, you know, when you think about religion and people's beliefs and what they believe in and how to impact the youth that we're dealing with that's growing up in the world today, we want to be effective.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to turn them away, which is a lot. That happens a lot because we don't know how to,
absolutely,
you know, go about it. So I just think that it's very important that those who are listening even understand how to address young people today.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because I always assume people are good. I assume everyone comes with a good intent.
Right.
And I think that's just something we owe to one another. And then as we learn and we grow, we can adjust our behaviors. But I think starting with that assumption that we're all good.
Yes.
You know, is really just important for our progress. And we live now in such a global society because of technology.
Yes.
And so diversity is bound to be there. If you're connected on the internet, you're among diversity. And
yes.
So,
yes, you are.
I know sometimes, you know, our brains are wired to be afraid of people that are not like us. It's a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about animals out in the wild, the other, the thing that's different than you, would be dangerous.
Right.
And humans are no different, but we don't live in the wild anymore.
No, we don't.
And so we don't need that function.
Nor should we live in fear.
Absolutely.
Because that drives you to do crazy things, you know?
Yeah, that's what we see time and time again, is fear. Yeah, driving these hate crimes that we talked about.
Right.
I think the great news about our brains is that we can rewire them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can associate other people as ourselves, as one of our kind.
Right.
And we do that through relationship building, connection. And so if you haven't ever met a transgender person before, it might feel uncomfortable and awkward and scary.
Right.
But then I think for most people, when you get to know someone and hear their story, your perceptions change and it becomes more easier to use the pronouns they and them. It's like with anything, just getting to know someone that's different than you.
That's true. So true. And that is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Every day it's increasing that you have an opportunity, possible opportunity, to meet a transgender and maybe have an impact on their life some type of way, you know, positive.
Yeah.
And not negative, you know, not running away and or you know, lashing out bad language, you know, towards them, you know, but trying to understand, like you said, their story, where they come from, how did that, you know, happen to you, or how did you get on that trend of thought? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But, you know, I'm looking at maybe people my age who have, you know, we're like 20, 30 years possibly ahead of these people, and we really don't know how to, you know, connect with them. And
yeah, it was not visible in the media the way it is now.
Oh, no.
And people were killed, and I mean, it was illegal if you were gay to be married. So things have changed, and I think as the policies have eased and we've allowed more rights to Americans and giving freedom of expression, we get to see more of that in our media and in our culture.
Yes, you're right.
It's a good thing, especially youth. The suicide rates among LGBTQ youth are high. Because of the isolation, the fear, the worry, bullying, acceptance or not feeling accepted by their parents or at home. So we want to show them love.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Support.
For God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You're so right. It has to be about love.
Yeah.
Love one another.
Absolutely.
Wow. Right. Because I also know that suicide is a big issue as well as drugs and the mental health issues. And it's just a day that I never thought I'd live to see, you know, for things to be the way they are today. So, like I said, people like you who are shaking things up and bringing awareness to people is so important.
Yeah, when you bring up Jesus, I think about the verse that says something along the lines of, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And when you look at the original language, the translation for perfect is really meaning be whole.
Mm-hmm,
be whole the way your Father in heaven is whole. And for us to be whole, you know, is to align our physical, spiritual, and mental health to be connected with one another. It's not about not making mistakes.
Right.
It's about working towards wholeness. And I'd rather be whole than perfect anyways.
Of course, who wouldn't, right? If you understood, you know, the difference. Of course, yes, be whole. Make me whole, Lord. Whole again. Yes. So, how is your family doing?
Good. Great. Issa is in third grade, and she's had a great teacher this year. Shout out Mr. Losh. He has been awesome.
Good.
And she just graduated from speech, so she was getting speech intervention since she was like 2.5.
Okay.
And she's now met all the requirements, and we're celebrating her for that achievement.
That's great.
She's also a mover and shaker. She sits on a little school board thing at her school where she gives them input on how to reward positive behaviors.
And really?
She's a member of the Delaware African American Heritage Council.
What?
The youngest member.
I can see her. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, I mean, she just looks like that type of young lady. She really does.
She is so kind and generous, and has taught me a lot about being soft, and softness can change people too. I tend to like want to do this, do that, you know, like why can't we change society? Why can't we do this?
Right, and right.
She gives me a perspective of grace for other people.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Your daughter teaching you.
Oh my gosh, she does. She's taught me to grow up. You know, because it's funny as a parent, as your kids get older, they trigger parts of you. Like, she's 8 years old, almost 9, and I've had to, like, revisit my 8-year-old self and think, oh, I can't let my 8-year-old self be the parent right now. I got to be 34.
Right.
And I got to stay in my present age. I think sometimes as parents, we just get swept back into time. And
yes, you're right.
Forgot about that feeling.
I know. It's it blows your mind. It really does. My great grandbaby Layla, she's so into things, you know, and so perceptive and so smart, you know. She's 4 years old.
Oh my gosh.
She write her name and everybody's name. She can count.
Amazing.
I know. She can add, draw pictures. I mean.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, 4 years
old. She's a little scholar.
Yes, she is.
That is amazing.
Yes, she is.
I'm curious what she'll be as she grows up. And
very perceptive.
Yeah.
You know, like she was born 20 years ago almost.
Wow. And that's like, that stuff is hard to teach. You know, she's just born with it, it sounds like.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be.
She comes from a good family.
Well, praise God for that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's really smart. She can entertain me, you know. Mm. She calls me Gigi.
Oh, that's what my daughter calls my grandma.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like that name.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
It's shortcut, right, for great-grandma. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And she'll have a day. She'll pick out a day she wants to come and visit me, or she'll call me, or, you know.
That is so important.
It's so, like, you're so right. And I wanted her to know me, who I was and know me, you know, and she does. She does.
That's so important, because I think in this day and age, we don't have elders. You know, we've lost access to people that can impart wisdom and perspective and just give us a bird's eye view of, I know I need that in my life.
Oh, like, yeah.
Whitney, you're not the first one to do this before, let me tell you.
So true. Maybe in a different
it.
Way now you're doing things, but like you said, they've always existed, you know.
Yeah.
But it just needed a fresh look.
Yeah, we invited some elders into Project Dreams, and they spoke to the high schoolers, and it was really powerful for them to see, you know, what was it like during the civil rights movement, and how does that compare to now, and what advice would they give to high schoolers?
Right.
They also spoke to teachers in the elementary school as well, of like how to accurately teach Black history and what does it mean, and that it's much more than just slavery. You know,
there's
accomplishments and excellence that often gets overlooked.
It does. And I see how that can happen, you know, because a lot of times people live, still live in the pain, and they still live in the past that maybe doesn't so much exists today, and it exists differently. I'm not saying all injustice is over, because it's not, but we still have to move on in a way, you know.
Yeah, and just because the other part of my work is around trauma, I mean, there's just so much research that talks about how trauma is generational, that it's inherited.
Mm-hmm.
We inherit our ancestors' trauma.
Okay.
And that's just fascinating to think about how it shapes, you know, our personality.
Right.
And our perception of feeling safe in the world. So getting in touch with that, as scary as it is so important.
It sure is. Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's reality, and it gives you another perception of how to look at racism or slavery, you know. And I know they was talking about rewriting history, trying to exclude that from the textbooks. And why do you think they want to do that?
Why do I think they want to do it? I think facing history is scary. It's hard to admit the ways that we've been wrong. I think there is a hurry to get over things or to make things cleaner or prettier. But I think of other places that have had truth and reconciliation events and initiatives, and I think our country hasn't yet got to the point to have a common memory of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The removal of indigenous people, the enslavement of Africans, what we did to the Japanese and internment camps, the Jewish Holocaust. We all are thinking about these events from a different perspective, and when you take that away, it loses our momentum to understand one another and to be able to work towards healing as a country, as a society.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's important. So if we remove history, then we skip that part.
Yeah. And yet we're still left. We still feel it in our bodies. We still know something can happen. And it's just not a positive move. I like to tell the whole truth.
Right.
You know, even the parts that may seem to contradict my current beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the truth no matter what. And so,
how bad it hurts, right?
Yeah. Because it makes me better.
You're right.
It makes me an honest person. And I don't want us to lose that character as a country by taking away books or censoring curriculum.
Right, right. I understand that. And in the healing process, that helps us all to move forward and away from that hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that exists, like you said. And everybody wants to think that, you know, people have good intentions, like you said, and you want to believe that. And I'm like that, too. I'm a very positive person and very optimistic. And I want to think and I know there's good in everybody, you know, because everything is just not evil and bad, because we do have a God and a devil. So, you know, we have both sides, you know. So, and they say that if you forget about your history, then you're apt to repeat it again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, God forbid we have to, you know what I'm saying, go through that and repeat it again, like years later. That would be so terrible.
Yeah, we can't do that. I hope that there's enough people fighting for the right thing that we won't see a repeat of some of the terrible worst parts of our history.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think in some ways it gets repeated, just in more nuanced ways and subtle ways, you know.
Wow.
My niece is in Florida, and they had to remove books from the classroom, and some of the books that she really loved.
Really?
Her teacher had all the students pack them up, and they had to remove them from the classroom. It doesn't seem real at times that any book could be that threatening. I don't know.
Wow. So it's really happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really happening.
It is. And it's just, we see it on the news, but I think seeing it firsthand brings a different level of emotion to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the school board is like here in Marion, but even in Delaware, we've seen calls to ban certain books during school board meetings. And, you know, there's something in common that I have with people that have that position is that they don't feel heard. Mm-hmm. They don't feel respected by the school district. And I would love to find ways that there could be more public participation and partnerships with families.
Right.
But I don't know that this is the answer. I wish there was a easy way to come together, maybe right. for one cause, and start there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, if you find out, let me know.
Yeah, me too. Oh, that would be great. But looks like that's going to always be around, especially if we start skipping things and, you know, not necessarily trying to relive things, but like you said, come to an agreement or forgiveness. You know, well, these things happen, you know, but I'm sorry they happen, even though I may not have anything to do with it.
Yeah, we just need to acknowledge the pain. You know, right. The kid falls on the ground and scrapes his knee, we give him a Band-Aid.
Right.
And if you didn't have your knee scraped, you don't need a Band-Aid.
Right.
But the people that have been hurt need the resources to recover, to heal.
Mm-hmm.
But an approach of just not acknowledging, you got a boo-boo. Oh, what happened? Tell me about, you know. If we don't do that, then, you know, I'm taking this analogy far, but mm-hmm. the kid just bleeds.
True. You know? True. You're right. Wow. Like you said, being made whole.
Sorry. Yes, whole.
Let us be made whole. And that can be a painful process, but it is a good process.
Absolutely.
Probably the only process that's going to help us to move forward.
Yeah.
Is to heal. Wow. I am so enjoying. I really enjoy you coming and being on my show. Yes, and Scott Spears, he likes you. Oh, Whitney's coming. I say, finally.
I know. I can't remember. You know, you can hear it in my voice. Since October, I have gotten some kind of cold or sinus infection. Mm-hmm. And it comes and goes. And it's really? Usually like the end of the month. Like, it's just predictable now.
Hmm.
So I'm on my... It's about that time of month that I'm starting to get a cold again, and I just don't understand.
And hopefully this is every month?
Yeah. It's been very strange. I think the last time I was scheduled with you.
Right.
That's what
I think
happened.
Isa got sick, too. She's been off and on sick, and you're not the only ones. A lot of people are dealing with that. Even Tekka Thompson, she had that long COVID.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so unfortunate.
Yes. Yes,
I think she's now in a study to understand more of, like, the effects.
And that's something.
Yeah. It's strange that it can happen to some people and not others.
Right, right. You wouldn't wish things like that on your worst enemy, you know?
No.
COVID is not that nice either. So they have not said that you have COVID. It's just some type of allergy
or
something?
Yeah. Even the weather is probably...
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it was, like... 60 degrees yesterday.
I know. And windy.
In February? Yeah. We had the windows open.
Wow.
So.
Well, Whitney, we are out of time, and hopefully it doesn't take this long to get you back on the show. You have so much to share with
Thank
us
you.
And to help us grow and understand where we are today with our youth and our young people. But hopefully you've enjoyed Whitney Gurman, and keep listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here live on WGH Talk. Also streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. And don't forget to download that free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. Thank
You're
you.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory...
I just said my prayer to the real God. I said, hey, man, they're awesome Negroes.